It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are here talking about estate stuff. And I want to let you all know this is our fourth to last show. We are going to be winding down Law Talk with Brad in about 4 weeks. We've been doing it for about 3.5 years and have had a lot of fun and met a lot of great people. But it is time to do other things, and I'm looking forward to doing other things, and I'm thankful to be able to do other things. So, but we're also very thankful that y'all have been good, loyal listeners to this show, and we appreciate everybody who's listened, everybody who's called, and everybody who's called the law firm, too, to get some help with their estate planning stuff. Today, we have an encore guest. This is Stan Kerr's third time on Law Talk with Brad. Good morning, Stan.
Hi, you must be a glutton for punishment.
Cold. Stanley's cold. No, I love having you on because what Stan Kerr does, ladies and gentlemen, is he works with, he's an attorney who works with people in the mental health area. Stan, I'm going to let you describe your actual duties here in just a second, but mental health issues aren't getting any fewer and don't seem to be getting any less important as people age. Mental health issues kind of look like Alzheimer's, dementia, maybe what we used to call senility. As for younger people, I'm sure, Stan, it takes the form of schizophrenia, paranoia, bipolar, and then let's just throw in some drugs and some alcohol and all kinds of stuff.
And don't forget our favorite, sexual abuse when you were younger.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, there's just so many things out there. I mean, the human brain is such a, I guess, delicately balanced thing that it doesn't take a lot, Stan, to throw it off sometimes. Hang on 1 second. We're kind of moving the mics here.
Yeah, I'll give it a better mic.
There you go.
There we go. There you go.
So, Stan, let's just kind of dig on into this thing and see where we go. Describe what you do here in Travis County.
Does as little as possible count?
I got a feeling, Stan, that you're a pretty hardworking guy. I got a feeling that you're not going to go in Monday morning with nothing on your plate.
No, typically a week for me is that I have 30 to 40 older cases, and I pick up 30 to 40 newer cases. Mm. So that in any given week, I'm handling 60 to 70 people or so.
And how would someone end up being a case on your desk?
I go by the courthouse to the probate court. Judge Herman with the probate court is, he has the statutory jurisdiction for mental health. And I pick up my cases from the clerk's office. And these are people who have been picked up in the community or other communities. The Austin State Hospital serves about a 40-county area.
Wow.
Stretches from Galveston up to just south of Fort Worth and out almost to Abilene.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, huge.
So it's
huge
a district
territory.
Hospital.
Yeah, there are so many state hospitals in the state. And each one is typically full or almost full on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
Some days they're all full.
Mm.
But law enforcement has picked up somebody and brought them to a facility. I don't only do state hospital. I also have Shoal Creek and St. David's, or whatever they call it now.
I think it's called the Pavilion.
Yeah, now it's the Lakes.
Right. I think you're right.
I-35 doesn't look like a lake. It confuses some of the patients, but they call it the Lakes.
All right. It's a calming name. It's a calming name.
Yeah. And then also I have clients in emergency rooms because that's where we're parking people now while they wait for a bed at one of our hospitals.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. It's a big problem.
Mm. So how does the, you mentioned law enforcement, I mean, they just, I mean, is this just some drunk homeless guy on 6th Street they're picking up and taking to the Austin State Hospital? Or, I mean, what kind of people are we talking about?
Well, there's some of that, but the criteria, I actually brought the book today.
You are the man.
Yeah.
Stand the man. All right, I like that.
Anybody who wants to know everything there is about mental health in Texas, the 17th edition of Texas Laws Relating to Mental Health has been published by the what they now call the Department of State Health Services, which includes the old MHMR.
Right.
I think they call it something weird now, like DADS.
Yeah, I think it is. Department
Disability of, and Assistive Service.
Something like that.
Some weird thing like that. And they publish, after each legislative session, a comprehensive guide to all the laws. And you can pick that up. They used to publish it out at the Austin State School. I don't know if they still have the print shop there, or you can download it.
Right. So this is a compilation of the Texas laws relating to mental health issues. And I'm going to bet, Stan, if there's a listener in our audience right now who has insomnia, that if they pick that sucker up, the insomnia will be cured. Want to bet?
Yeah, except some of it gets exciting.
Oh, I'm sure it's thrilling.
Yeah, it's held my interest for about 21 years.
Well, there you go. There you go. So who, again, you know, you're walking in tomorrow morning with 20, 30, 40 new cases. Give us some sense of what a typical case would be.
There isn't one.
Okay.
Anything you can think of, one of my clients has done or tried to do. I just talked to a woman that, Shoal Creek yesterday, who had jumped off the Congress Bridge onto Highway 71. I mean, whatever you can think of, somebody has done or tried to do.
Okay. Part of what I'd like to focus our listeners on a little bit, in our practice, we see folks all week long with different issues, different family issues. I tell that folks that come into my office that my job is to sit around all day long and talk to other people about their family. That's really what estate planning is. And so we talk about families, and families have sometimes got adult children, minor children, adult parents, siblings, whatever, that, you know, they're concerned about vis-a-vis mental health issues. Let's start with, you know, maybe a definition would be hard to come up with. But
no, I got one right here.
Okay, good. Whip it out.
All right. Mental illness means an illness, disease, or condition other than epilepsy, senility, alcoholism, or mental deficiency. I think they used to call it retardation.
They did.
That A, substantially impairs a person's thought, perception of reality, emotional process, or judgment, or B, grossly impairs behavior as demonstrated by recent disturbed behavior. So that's the official legal definition of mental illness.
All right. And by the way, I want to remind our listeners, this is a call-in show. You can call in 390-1370, 390-1370. We've got Andy Weevil out there. Andy's a junior at St. Michael's Catholic Academy here. He is an Eagle Scout. He's getting paid to do this show. So if you don't call, he still gets paid, and he needs to do a little work out there other than surf the Internet while he's waiting for you to call. So call us this morning at 390-1370, 390-1370 with your questions this morning. We'll be happy to give you an answer. This stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is serious. It's pervasive. It's growing.
And sometimes deadly.
And sometimes deadly, sure. I mean, you know, suicide, depression, these are going to be things, Stan, that you deal with frequently.
All the time. One of the things I ask my clients when I first meet them is, in the hospital setting, what kind of a crazy thing did you do to get here?
Sure.
And a lot of the attempted suicides try to minimize it. I was going to walk the dog, and the phone rang, and that's how the dog's leash ended up around my neck and stuck in the ceiling fan. And you look at somebody and you go, well, we can tell that to the judge, but I don't think they're going to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So somebody's taken in. Now, sometimes you get referrals from family members?
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what should a family member do who's got a loved one that they think is a danger to themselves or to others?
Well, if they can, get them to a doctor, get a professional evaluation. Or if that's not feasible or it's more of an emergency, then you call 911. Or when you call 911, you can ask for the mental health deputy with the sheriff's office, or you can ask for, they call it CIT, Crisis Investigation Team, or something like that. They actually have an office out at the state hospital. The number there is 854-3445. And you
854-3445, right?
Yeah, and that's that'll usually get you a mental health deputy or an Austin police officer who's been trained.
Okay, to come out and help you with your loved one. All right,
yeah.
We've got a call here, it looks like, Stan, on line one. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. Hi, what can I help you with? Hi.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. What's your name?
Yes, sir. This is LaVonna McFerrin. I have a question.
Sure, we'd love to hear your question, LaVonna.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hardly hear you.
Let's try that. How does that sound?
There's a different phone.
Okay, great. Well,
I'm sorry.
That's fine, LaVonna. Tell us when you're ready.
Hello?
Yes, there you go.
Yes, sir. I have an adult daughter, 40 years old. She has been diagnosed with numerous personality disorders with schizoaffective behavior. She lives over in East Texas, and she was on medication and under MHMR for quite a few years. She developed abdominal pain, and I had to take her to the University of Houston in Galveston, and they took her off the medication thinking that perhaps that was causing it. And now she refuses to go back on any medication.
Mm-hmm.
She, since 2000, she has claimed she has a stalker. She's on SSI. She's claimed she has a stalker, and, you know, we've met, got her to meet one time with a psychiatrist, and he told her he would put her back on lighter medication, but she refuses to go on. She's not under MHMR anymore. Recently, her behavior, she comes and goes, but her behavior has escalated where she's claiming NASA is investigating her and the Navy's investigating her, and she has this stalker, and they're going to kill her.
So some serious paranoia.
Yes.
Too.
And but I have talked to the psychiatrist over there, and he says even if I could prove that she's a danger to herself or to someone else, that they would put her in the state hospital for a week and then just let her go again. And
Stan,
it would be up to her to have the medication.
So your question, it sounds like, LaVonna, is what can I do to help my daughter? Let's pitch that to Stan. Stan?
I wish I could offer you some hope. Praying that Jesus of Nazareth will heal her is your best hope.
Well, that's what we have been doing.
Right.
I've turned her over to God, and I have a lot of people praying for her.
And then there's a World War II song that you keep in mind. It's called Praise the Lord and Pass the Medication. Trying to get help for somebody in this climate is really tough. I can't speak too much to East Texas. I'm not familiar with that. But here in Austin, the situation is that between the last 8 years with our federal government and with our state government, we've elected so many compassionate conservatives that there's just no money for treatment. And so what has happened is that people, if they are dangerous enough to themselves or others to get picked up by law enforcement and brought to a facility, and then if they can legally be required to take medication, which is an issue in itself, if they don't want to.
Is there a way to get them to take medication?
Yes, but first you have to get them committed through a court. Then you have to have a separate hearing on whether they have the capacity to make their own medication decisions.
All right.
But then even if you do all that, you get them in the facility, you're requiring them to take medication. The mental health code says that a commitment is good for up to 90 days, but the reality right now is that most people are in and out within a week to 2 weeks as
just
a general
rule.
Bed
space? Or?
Bed space, lack of money, lack of facility. They've got to turn.
No insurance.
Well, insurance with the state system is not that big a deal. With the private system, of course, but there is a public option for mental health. Unlike
general health insurance.
And so if you can get someone into a local facility or a state facility that is government run, or even with the privates, they're going to get you out as fast as they can. It used to be a treatment modality where they would treat people until they thought they were stable. Now it's more of a triage. It's like, how can we get you well enough to push you out the door?
I guess my question for, with LaVonna too, Stan, would it be worth trying to get her daughter in for even a week or 2 week period to see if the staff there can coax her back on her medication?
It's always worth a try. It's kind of like evangelization, where you give someone the gospel and hope that they will receive it. It's the same way with mental health treatment and chemical addiction treatment. If you can give them the opportunity to try and stabilize on medications, maybe something will click in their soul or in their brain where they realize that they need it, there's something wrong, this helps. If they take it, they don't have all the troubling behavior. And sometimes people get it, sometimes they just don't.
So, LaVonna?
Yes, sir.
Not a lot of solid direction, but again, my thought would be is that if you can get your daughter through the mental health commitment process, mm-hmm. in, maybe the staff there can convince her to start her treatment regime again, and maybe she'll stick with it this time. But, there's just not a lot of good answers. Doesn't sound like
find a church where they believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and they understand that Jesus of Nazareth is alive and that he still heals people,
right.
And just sick some prayer warriors on her.
That's what I have done, and I am doing. She belongs to the Baptist church over there. And
mm-hmm.
She is a Christian, and she's a college graduate. She's a beautiful girl.
Mm.
It's just heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
The thing of it is, it seems like the one that, loves her the most and has done, for her is me, and I am her adversary.
Favorite target.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're getting older, too. And, you're part of your concern, I would think, too, LaVonna, is who's going to look after her after I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And
that's another issue, because sometimes you can get a guardianship over someone who's mentally ill. Sometimes you can't, depending on how bad off they are in terms of taking care of themselves and whether they'll hold still long enough to get a guardianship through the process.
Mm-hmm. She seems to be able to turn it on and off,
Right.
She's fine, normal with a lot of people, and it seems like, she'll... call up my friends or our church friends and, be fine. And it's hard for people to understand, how she's, sends wicked emails and all that. And it's just so hard. But it's heartbreaking because I know, what she was like before she became ill.
Well, don't give up hope and don't mm-hmm. take it personally.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
But at the same time, sometimes you have to engage in what they're calling tough love.
Well, this is basically what I told her the last time, and unless she got some help, do not contact me, because it was just very vicious.
It's just too painful.
And it's hard to do that to your daughter.
Well, at the same time, the scripture says that a child should honor their father and their mother,
right.
And sometimes you just have to say, until you can follow God's laws at least to this minimum,
mm-hmm.
It's one of the top 10.
Number 4, I believe.
Yeah. That you're just not going to tolerate that level of disrespect.
Right, right.
And if she wants money, you have to say, not until you show me you're on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be real careful with how you parcel it out.
Right. Well, that's, you know, again, I was trying to, quote, help her, fix her, and she was doing great. She spent about 4 months over here, but it was, then she, you know, turned. Can I have your name again? I got Stan.
Stan Courage, K-E-R-R.
Unless you're Scottish, in which case it's Kerr.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got to roll your R's.
So it's Stan
Kerr.
Kerr. Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Are you local here in Austin?
I work with the probate court, and I get assigned to folks who get filed on through the Travis County probate court.
So Stan is a county employee.
Well, I appreciate your witness, sir. I'm hoping other people will follow that the number one physician is the good Lord.
And sometimes he's the physician of last resort, but he's always the best place to go.
Yes, sir. And that's where we've gone so far. So I appreciate your time, and thank
okay.
you for speaking to me, and hopefully this has maybe helped someone else.
Well, God bless you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Levon. Have a great day. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got more of Stan Kerr. We're talking this morning about mental health issues, how to get help, what help looks like. And we'll be back after the break. We've got a call-in number of 390-1370, 390-1370. You can also email us at askbrad@wewell.us. That's askbrad@wiewel.us. And we'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
According to Javelin Research,
Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are talking with Stan Kerr this morning. And, Stan, what's your official title?
I think I'm officially called the mental health attorney and guardian ad litem or something like that.
Some nice formal roll-off-your-tongue type of deal. You'd say that in an elevator, everybody understands exactly what you're talking about. Sure. We've got another call. And, by the way, this is a call-in show, so our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. You can email us at askbrad@wiewel.us, askbrad@wiewel.us. And we've got Karen on line one. Karen, this is Brad Wewell. What can we help you with this morning?
Hi, Brad. First of all, I wanted to thank you for all your years of public service to the community by having this show.
Amen and to that.
I think that a lot of people are sitting at home listening and taking notes, and they don't want to miss anything, so they're afraid to call in and ask any questions because I think you have a bigger audience than you know of.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind. Karen.
And I did want to thank you. I'm sorry to hear that you're going to end the show soon, and I hope you'll reconsider, and maybe next year, if you can't finish it up this year, maybe next year start it up again because we have really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
And maybe even play your reruns because they've been good.
Oh, well, good, good, good. Well, it's been fun. It's been a great show. I really have enjoyed doing it.
And I try not to miss it. I send a lot of people to your website.
Well, good.
So I think there are more people out there listening than you know. Just because they're not all calling in doesn't mean they don't want to hear it. They're just trying not to miss anything.
Well, that's great. There's just a lot of information out there, and this is an interesting area. And there's just, you know, it's going to get more so as everybody ages. And the reason we have Stan on here today is that
He's aging.
Yeah, Stan. I mean, it's been this is Stan's third time, so it's been about every year we have you on. So this is our. As I say, this is the conclusion of the show of our 3.5-year mark. So, Karen,
here's
thanks.
My question.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say that I die, and when I die, I think there will still be people in my family who I will need to take care of. They will either be minors, or they will be. We have someone in the family who is mentally incompetent, and has problems like the lady that called previously.
Right.
People with schizophrenia just have a really hard time. And evidently some of these drugs that children start taking, you know, when they're 18, 19, 20, can throw them into schizophrenia if they're doing illegal drugs out there. That
absolutely.
They have no idea what can happen to their mind, and they end up in a lot of trouble later on in their life. So we're going to see more and more of that. And MHMR, you know, our parents and grandparents, I'm 60 now, our grandparents and grandparents set that MHMR system up a long time ago, and they were really hoping that it would work for their children if something were to happen to them. And MHMR is just there sort of as a just an institution by name, but it doesn't seem to be serving these people. And what I one of my questions is, if I were to set up some kind of a trust, would that be called a living trust? And then the next question is, when that gets to be administered, who, what are the checks and balances on the administration of that trust? Because we've had trusts in our family previously that haven't worked out too well. The people that were administering the trust, they took their large share of commissions.
Yes, ma'am.
And we don't know quite where all that money went to or where all the property went to that was left in the trust.
Okay, well, let me kind of jump in here, yeah. Karen, and kind of answer that question, because there, whether you're dealing with a mentally ill loved one, Stan, or a mentally more what you would call a developmentally disabled, which would pick up Downs and autism and cerebral palsy, perhaps a severe case of that. You know, setting up a trust is what you have to do if you don't want to leave that person money in a way that'll be very harmful. Stan, I'm sure you've seen situations where a mentally incompetent person with money is a pretty scary thing.
Yeah, there's one I'm thinking of in particular that made the news because he ended up being kidnapped and the fellow controlled his money and did all kinds of things that made headlines.
Mm. So what a good plan would be, Karen, would be to set up a trust for this special loved one. Have it, I would urge, professionally administered, and by that I mean not your sister, brother, cousin, mother, child, but a professional trustee, being a bank or a trust company.
You need a special needs trust.
Yes, and absolutely. So it would be a special needs trust, which is a trust, and thanks, Dan, it's a trust that is designed to not disqualify somebody from the government benefits they might be entitled to, like SSI, like Medicaid. And so the government benefits that are there are available and will pay for much, much, much of what they need on the health side, be that physical health or mental health. But then the rest of the money in that trust can be used to supplement, but not supplant, I think is the official term, Stan.
Right. You don't want to give somebody something that knocks them out of getting housing or stops their benefits from the government. And so the trust has to be constructed to do that. But then you can use it to buy them stuff like a TV or a stereo.
Right. That's exactly right. But having professional management, Karen, I mean, turning over a special needs trust to somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing, I mean, these are really complex rules. And the problem is, as Stan pointed out, with just the mental health manual that you brought this morning, Stan, it changes. These rules change all the time.
Every 2 years.
That's right. And Stan is a lawyer, and I'm a lawyer. And if somebody picks, again, their mother, cousin, sister, brother, to be a trustee of one of these trusts, they're going to have to keep up with all these things, and that's just not going to happen. So a professional trustee is the way to go. Yes, they're going to charge a fee. They're going to earn their fee. And if they get too crazy, we always build into our special needs trust somebody called a trust protector. And a trust protector is a person, the mother, cousin, sister, brother, that can keep their eye on the trust company. If the trust company's fees get out of whack, if the investments go south, then the trust protector can fire the trustee, but then has to replace him with another professional trustee. So there's some family involvement. We want to keep a trust company honest, but we want to make sure this thing works. And if they mess up, then you can sue the professional trust company, and they actually have money you can recover out of them. If you sue your brother, sister, mother, cousin, who's the trustee, they don't have money. The money's gone, and things are a total mess. So, Stan, anything else to add on that?
Yeah, it's really a shame. They've deconstructed the system that was created. There were abuses, there were problems, but it used to be that if you could get your retarded person or a developmentally disabled person into a state school, you could be satisfied that they'd be taken care of for life after you were gone. That's no longer the case. They're pushing these folks out of the state schools any way they can, and they just it's a real fight to get anybody back in one. It used to be if you had some family member who was really mentally ill, you could get them into a state hospital. You could be assured that they could stay there for an extended period, if not a lifetime. In fact, there's still the state hospital cemetery out here in Austin. Hmm. But now getting somebody to stay more than just a little bit is a real issue. And it's the community treatment modality that became dominant might work if it were ever funded and managed correctly, but it isn't.
Well, and just kind of these are the bottom of the barrel priorities because, you know, we need.
Well, these folks don't tend to vote.
That's exactly right. And there's, you know, the problem is serious and it's getting bigger. But again, it's they also don't hire lobbyists either, do they, Stan?
No.
So, all right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to take more calls at 390-1370. 390-1370, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
Brad Wewell, this is Law Talk with Brad. We are here with Stan Kerr, and Stan and I are talking this morning about mental health issues, how to get somebody help if you've got a loved one with mental health issues. And our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. I want to remind you about the Wewell Law Firm. We are an estate planning law firm. That's all we do. We do wills. We do trusts. Stan mentioned special needs trusts. We do those for family that have challenging loved ones. We can do asset protection, which we do a lot of. We probably do more asset protection planning in our office than almost anything else. That may be a limited liability company. It may be a specialized trust. We do probates. We do trust administration. We do buy-sell agreements. Had a couple in recently and did some fairly extensive pet planning. So you can do a lot of things. We have three offices. We have an office in Austin at 1601 Rio Grande. We have an office in Georgetown at 1618 Williams Drive. And we have an office in Horseshoe Bay at 6400 FM 2148. You can see us at any of those offices for free. For the first visit, so the initial consultation is complimentary, which is a nicer way of saying free. But you can come in, discuss your problem. We'll be happy to help you start some planning if you want to. If you want to have us give you a second opinion on some planning that you've done, you're welcome to do that. We don't mind seeing you, and we're happy to just kind of help you navigate some of these complexities. And these complexities are not getting less complex, so we're happy to sit down and help you any way we can. The only thing we charge the initial consultation on would be a Medicaid consultation. We do that, too. So if you've got a loved one who's older and concerned about losing all the money to a nursing home, we can help with that, too. So give us a call. Our phone number at the office, the primary number is 480-8828, 512-480-8828. Here in Austin, Georgetown is 869-1435. We've got an 800 number for Horseshoe Bay. I don't have that memorized yet, but call our office in Austin or Georgetown. We'll get you that number. And we have a great website, and our website is TexasTrustLaw.com, TexasTrustLaw.com, and you can go there and you can read about our firm. We have an excellent library, and we have on our library 12 different articles every month about some aspect of estate planning. And this one is, this month's is about the challenges of blended families. Those are challenges. We have a great little section on videos. We have 81 two-minute videos on different estate planning topics. And anyway, just roam around TexasTrustLaw.com. I think you'll find it very interesting. All right, thanks. Stan, in our office frequently, we're talking to families that have troubled teenagers. Now, this is not the kid who's sassing mom and dad. This is a child who has a potential drug dependency. They are doing a lot of things. They're not going to school. They may be more than just running around with the wrong crowd, more than just being teenage sassy or whatever. They're suspecting mental health issues due to drug dependency or maybe a bipolar thing. What kind of help is out there for those families? And I guess the question is there help out there for those families?
There is some help. My first inclination is always to explore and see if there has been some kind of childhood trauma, whether it's sexual abuse or whether it's physical or even emotional. But to explore that option and see, because sometimes that's the motor that drives some of the other behaviors. And I just talked to somebody yesterday who was saying that, you know, having been molested by a neighbor at beginning at age five resulted in alcoholism later because to deal with the pain, they tried alcohol, which worked until they got addicted to the alcohol.
It didn't work anymore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So that's one of the places to look.
Does insurance pay for some of that counseling?
Wow. Now that's, as Obama says, that's beyond my level of expertise.
Pay grade,
yeah. another aspect of it, the Austin State Hospital has a children's unit, child and adolescent.
Okay.
And there's some really good people over there, Dr. Fisher, Dr. Karnak.
So you deal with children, too, sometimes.
We used to do a lot of it. The youngest client I've had in a hearing was 4 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Swung underneath the table in the hearing room through most of it, but they wanted to see what a judge looked like. They were also suicidal because the sexual abuse had started in infancy, but being four, they couldn't figure out how to efficiently hurt themselves. You can access the children's unit, child and adolescent there. They're right there off 45th and between Guadalupe and Lamar over by the triangle.
On the north side of 45th Street.
There. Yeah.
Right.
PES, Psychiatric Emergency Services, which is down off Town Lake around 2nd Street, I think, behind. It's back behind the Holiday Inn and
right there at
the Chevron.
35, yeah. Right.
They may deal with adolescents. I'm not sure. You'd have to call and check. And one of the other things is to explore the possibility of bipolar. It may not kick in that young unless there has been some kind of trauma, but it might, and then medications can sometimes help. And so a child psychiatrist, Shoal Creek has a pretty good program. Dr. Ceballos has been doing it for years over there. But those would be the two or three places that I'd explore.
Let me flip the question. Okay, so now we've got an older person. We've got mom or dad, so this is the spouse being concerned about their spouse. It's maybe Alzheimer's. It may be dementia. It may be, you know, there may be a little violence involved in this. Mm-hmm. Again, it could be an alcohol dependency issue. You see those a lot, I'm sure, in older people. They get bored with retirement or whatever and start drinking. What kind of official help is there out there? I mean, you kind of think, well, they got Alzheimer's. They're harmless. but maybe harmful to themselves but not other people. But you can take different tacks too on this thing.
Well, like the retired Houston cop who showed up at somebody's house thinking it was a gun store, had his .38 loaded weapons in the car and briefcase with him. Here in Austin, St. David's, or as they call it now, the Lakes, has a pretty good senior program. The Austin State Hospital has a senior program.
Okay. Well, let's go. Let's give the number that you gave earlier, Stan, for folks. The, what was it, an 854 number?
Yeah, 854-3445 is the number of the mental health deputies and APD mental health officers. It's the CIT team.
Right. One more time. Give that number one more time.
854-3445.
All right. So you can call there if you've got a loved one that you think is...
They'll come out and check. You can get a sheriff's deputy to that's specially trained in mental health issues, and they will come out. They're the greatest people in the world.
Good. Good, good. So it's not the guy that's going to pull you over for a speeding ticket.
No, and they don't wear uniforms, and they're not packing heat.
All right, so they're not threatening.
Right, they're not going to throw up a SWAT perimeter around your grandpa's house.
Okay, all right, good, good, good. All right, Stan, this has gone fast. We're out of time.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And I just want to thank you again. I'm so happy to have you back on. You do a great job every time you're on. This is so valuable to our listeners. And it's good to have you as one of our final four guests now. Holy cow, man.
I'm impressed.
Wrapping it up. So this is the fourth to last show of Law Talk with Brad. We'll be back next week, and we're going to be talking about estate planning again, so be sure and listen. And today is Saturday, and tomorrow is Sunday. So you know what that means. You need to get your little bottom out of bed, and you need to go to church. You'll be much better for it, off for it, and we'll all be better off for it, too. Pray for the country. Pray for the world. All the stuff going on out there, there's a lot of things that could certainly use prayer. And
and you may want to fast and pray for Yom Kippur, which is coming up Sunday night, Monday.
Yom Kippur, all right, for our Jewish friends, that's of the highest holy day. So good, thank you for that, Stan. All right, we will see you next week on Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad. We will have a great weekend.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.